Yes, Lord, we just praise you. We glorify you for all that you're doing, even as we speak right now. And we thank you for it, Father. We glorify you. We thank you, Father, that every prayer that we have prayed is being answered as we speak. We thank you, Lord, that the angels are on the job. And we praise you. We glorify you, Father, that tonight's going to be a special night. You're going to lead us. And Father, we just ask and we pray for revelations from everybody about binding and loosing and anything else that comes up. And we thank you, Lord, that your word tells us things that we just have to search them out sometimes. And I thank you for it, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for all that you're going to accomplish this night. This night, Lord. And I thank you, Father, for the glorious, glorious answer to prayer in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. All right. Has anybody got a prayer request? Anybody got a testimony? Y'all want me to sing a song? I see some bug eyes out there. Oh, no, no, no. Not that. Oh, my. Okay. Anybody got anything they need to talk about before we get started? Yeah, Joe.
Sorry, I just want to pray about the load shedding. This is much better. Just want to say, Lord, thank you for the time. Thank you for being with us. We know that all this is going to a certain place with electricity, but it's all in your hands, Father. Thank you for the time. Thank you for the always be on time. The electricity for me at this time, won't be no problem, but it's all in your hands. Thank you for your prayers with our brethren here, praying with me, believing that this is going to be resolved. Be quick. It's all in your hands. Thank you for the time, Father. Thank you in Jesus' name. I pray.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Father. He's going to have electricity from now on. Thank
Amen.
You, Lord.
Amen.
Whether anybody else has it or not, glory to God. Thank you, Lord. We're going to have what we believe. All right. Anybody else? Yeah, Judy.
Would you please pray for me? I've had a sore. I don't know if it's a sore. It's very tender and sore right here in my, on my, the gum area under my, my teeth, the roots, but it's not like my teeth. It's just, I don't know if it's bruised or what it is, but it's very tender and sore. If you would all pray for
yep.
me.
Yep. Please. In the name of Jesus right now, we command that pain and that sore to dry up right now in Jesus' name. Pain, go from her gums right now in Jesus'
Amen.
Mighty name.
Amen.
Tenderness, be healed in the name of Jesus. And Father,
yes,
we thank you that Julie is healed because we believe. Thank you, Lord. Does everybody believe that for Julie?
Praise the Lord.
Glory to God, glory to God. Yes. Thank you, Father.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank
it
you.
is
Amen.
done.
Thank you, Jesus.
It is done. Thank you, Lord. All right. Anyone else? I bind up faction and every aspect of it from coming in this fellowship or the local fellowship in the name of Jesus. I bind up any kind of snooping, witchcraft going on in Jesus' name. You shall stop now in Jesus' name. We command it by the power and the blood of Jesus that you stop your snooping around in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Father, that the attacks are no longer anymore. In the name of Jesus, we command every form of rebellion of any kind of thing that's contrary to your word, Lord, out of this fellowship and out of the whole fellowship in Jesus' mighty name. And we thank you, Father, that your word is true. And we thank you, Lord, it is done. Glory to God, glory to God. And Lord, I thank you for multiplying the books where the missionaries are all over the world. And I thank you, Father, when they go to get some books, if they're going to be there, whether they printed them out or not. And we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. We thank you for provisions for every one of them, in Jesus' name, supernaturally, in the name of Jesus. Just like you've done for us, you can do for them. And we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Lord, we just ask that you've got missionaries over there with great bold faith to believe. Just like George Mueller did. He'd write down what he needed. He wouldn't tell nobody. He'd just tell you, Lord. And you'd come through for him. And we thank you, Father, that you're doing that for the missionaries as well. And for the local. And for the outreach. And for every one of them. Every evangelist, missionary, preacher, teacher out there. We ask, Lord, and we thank you for the provisions and the bold faith to believe that they don't have to beg for money. All they got to do is ask you, Lord, and you'll bring it to them, whatever they need, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Praise God forevermore. And I thank you, Lord, that everybody has enough food to eat, too. All the kids at the missionaries have food to eat as well. Thank you, Lord. Glory, hallelujah. My, my, my. Thank you, Jesus. Anybody else have a prayer? Lord, I thank you for bringing down the deep states and all of our countries out there in the name of Jesus. And I praise you for it, Father. I thank you, Lord. They are the enemy of the people. And we thank you, Lord, for doing that for your elect in the days to come. In Jesus' mighty name. Yeah, Phil.
Hey, everybody. I wanted to ask for prayer. The boys have their Russian classes today with their tutor on Zoom. And I noticed that she was speaking very quietly and couldn't get any louder. So I thought maybe she had a sore throat. And she said she's actually struggling to breathe. She thinks she might have COVID again. She's out in Odessa, Ukraine. And so I told her that we pray. I have no idea if she's of any faith. But that doesn't matter. So, Father God, I lift up Larissa, Father God, before your throne of grace. And we are so thankful, Father God, to have her in our lives so that we could bring her before your throne of grace and ask for your mercy. Father God, we come against this infirmity, this COVID, it sounds like. She's struggling to breathe. It's pressing on her chest. It's hurting her throat, Father God. She's going in for tests. But Father God, we don't receive the bad report, and we stand and intercede on her behalf, Father God, that not only could you please, Father God, and we command deliverance of this infirmity from her, Father God, but that you receive all the glory, that she gives you the glory, and that you reveal to her that you have done this for her, Father God, through your saints, Father God. We thank you for doing this, and we thank you for the good report, and we thank you, Father God, for blessing her, and we thank you, Father God, for keeping her. And continuing to use us as a light for her as she works with our boys. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Praise you, Father. Thank you, Lord. It's going to lead her into the kingdom in a mighty way. All right, Missy.
I wasn't like Pete. Like, I thought you mentioned the children in the orphanage over in the Middle East. Did I hear you correctly?
Well, yes, I don't want to go there, but yes.
Okay. I'd like to pray in the name of Jesus,
okay.
Father. I ask you to find a home for each and every one of those children.
Amen.
Every one of them, Lord, that they find a loving home of the especially a Christian home, those who are repentant and believers in Jesus Christ. And I thank you and I praise you, Lord, for doing that in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.
Yep. Amen. I believe it's done. Thank you, Father. I thank you, Lord, you're lining them all up now. In Jesus' name. All right. That's great. Thank you, Jesus. All right, anybody else? Oh, there he is. Lost you there for a minute, Andrew. I was getting scared. All right. Anybody else? Okay. We'll start talking about binding and loosing. What is, in the spiritual realm, binding and loosing? And how does it work? You may raise your hand at any time. Yeah, Benjamin, go ahead, brother.
Well, the first thing that came to my mind when I heard of, there's another verse, I forget where it says, but I give you a key to bind and loose. And from Pilgrim's Progress is that this key is a promise. It's a promise from God that we've inherited through the blood of Jesus. And so binding and loosening, something that it you forbid and something that you permit. So we forbid anything that is contrary to the word of God, 2 Corinthians 10 and 5. And we permit the promises that he's given us, all the blessings that we have, for we receive every spiritual blessing in the body of Christ. Other than that, I don't really know what else to add on to that. All I also know is that we receive the blood of Christ, and we bring that blood to our spiritual altar, and that's a continual thing, unlike the temporary sort of sacrifice that the Jews had, but it's a consistent thing that's in our blood that we have. So we need to receive Christ's blood like it's our blood, and that's what we inherit, his nature, character, and authority. If we agree with that nature, character, and authority, we receive that nature, character, and authority. So that's what we're taking to heaven. That's what we're loosening up and permitting into heaven. We're not permitting anything physical into heaven, because we can't really take anything physical into heaven. And what we are forbidding to going into heaven is anything that's worldly, anything that's contrary that to God, what God wants for us. And that's pretty much anything that's not in the body of Christ. That's what I got.
Okay. All right. Yeah. All right. That's good. There's more to it. Go ahead, somebody. I think the question that was asked was, I have bound the spirits from certain people. And let me see if I can only paraphrase. And it works for a little while, but then they come back and they have them again. These are lost people. So go ahead, Fia.
That verse, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. It doesn't specify which heaven. I always thought that when you bind, you're binding in the second heaven where the demonic realm is, and you have that ability because you have Christ in you to bind those demons in the second heaven. That's just what I understood in the past. Maybe I could use some clarification there, because it just says heaven. It doesn't say, you know, which heaven in that verse.
Amen. No, it doesn't. It doesn't say. But what we've learned through the years is we bind the demonic realm, right? And that's what it's for. You bind up the things that are tormenting people. And it should be for one reason. Does anybody know what that reason is? Actually, there's two reasons. Sorry. If, let's say this, let's say you've got some kinfolk. Yes. Absolutely, Angelica. That's a good, I was going to get in it. I'm glad you brought that up. But binding and loosing starts here. That's your mouth. Whatever you confess is what you are. If you confess that the devil has no authority in your household and you stay with that, then how did that devil get in? I don't know. It seems like a devil, Dawn, you can't talk. I told you, best God, you can't come in here. You've got to go. So you've got to be consistent with your mouth to confess whatever it is that you're doing. Tone conquers the curse. Here's a good prime example of binding and loosing. As far as it doesn't really say what binding and loosing is, but if you bind those demons up, you know, when you come to a person that is demonly possessed, you can bind them up and then you can break the power of Satan off of him and bring him into the kingdom. That's a temporary thing. That part of the binding is a temporary thing. You can't bind them up forever. Because you can't follow around behind him and bind him up every time they come loose. Yeah, Jenny.
I was reading in chapter, I think it was 16, 15, the binding and loosing in the Sovereign 15. God book.
Yep.
Yeah. And it said in there too, it also is in our thoughts, you know, that the enemy uses our thoughts and our emotions and all those things. So it's warfare. You know, take charge over our thoughts, the warfare, so we don't receive those thoughts. So that's binding when you don't receive those thoughts and imaginations that come into your mind. And what else was I going to say? Something you just said I was going to add to. Sorry. Lord, bring it back to me. It's gone. It left. Binding and loosing. Oh, we bind those spirits when they are like in your job, your workplace, your, you know, wherever you are, where you have dominion, you can bind those demons that would interfere with your work, that would interfere with your, being able to minister. Kind of like, I guess I was thinking like our brother David shares in his testimony about with his mom, you know, that she was living with them and she wasn't necessarily saved at that time. And, you know, God gave them permission by, you know, giving them a dream that it was okay to cast those demons out. But at the same time, because they'd been binding, but they kept coming back.
Yep.
So if they're interfering with your ministry, interfering with your work, interfering with your peace, we have permission. Again, I think it's temporary for the circumstance, maybe.
Yeah. But like that chapter, David talks about in that chapter 15, the Sovereign God, it's this what you say with your mouth that does the most good or bad. You know, one minute we're binding the devil and the next minute we're confessing that he's back. You know, we have to be consistent with our mouth and with our tongue to ensure that the devil doesn't take advantage. Because he's looking for a crack in the door all the time. Yeah. That's what David said. We give the devil authority to bind us when we sin and confess opposite of the word of God. And then also you turn it around and say, we can bind the devil with our tongue with the word of God. So it works both ways. Binding and loosing is just a tool that God gave us to utilize, but we have to be very careful with it because we'll bind one minute, we'll loose the next minute. The devil back into our life because we don't have faith to believe what we just got through praying is going to come to pass. Well, I hope, you know, that happens. No. Devil said, okay, I'm back in now. You can't hope. You got to have bull-headed faith, just like we talked about earlier about Samuel Chove when he was a child. I was telling people, yeah, that's right, David. I was telling the people about his dad when he died as a boy. He died as a boy, and his dad kept praying for us. Nope, I'm not going to let that boy die. Bless God, he's got to come back. He's coming back, and he kept praying, and he kept praying. And the Lord told Samuel Chove, he said, you have to go back because your dad is not letting up. And you know what? The Lord has done that throughout the Word of God. Remember when Moses said, Lord, you can't kill them all. You can't just do that, Lord. He changed his mind. What happened to Jacob? Huh? He wrestled that angel. I believe that was Jesus. To get his way, to get the way of the Lord. And that's what you have to do. We have to be persistent with our tongue. That's a good one, Joe. Know ye not that to whom you present yourselves as servants unto obedience? And went out. His servants ye are, whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. Amen. Glory to God. Yeah, Andrew.
I'd like to take that verse that was just mentioned and give you another verse in Matthew 13:30. I'd like to see you combine these two verses. Because there it says, let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather up first the tares and bind them in bundles and burn them. But gather the wheat into my barn. And, you know, you're in good company because that's where Jesus was born anyway. So if you combine that verse with the one that Joe just gave, know ye not that to whom ye present yourselves as servants, unto obedience, his servants ye are whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. I can throw in another verse which says death and life are in the power of the tongue, and he who loves it shall eat the fruit thereof. So that verse is kind of a weird binding verse.
I know.
But it does portray there is a correlation between those three verses, and it all has to do with the first fruit of the Spirit that you're all supposed to have anyway. So it is a process of progress, and you shouldn't worry about it because you ask to receive, seek so you can find, knock, and it shall be open unto you. And even he said, you being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children. How much more will your heavenly Father give to you the Holy Spirit to them that ask? And of course, the Spirit of God involves all those fruits of the Spirit that's written in Galatians 5:22. You know, I remember once said that obedience is behavior, yes, but obedience is also for the gifts of the Spirit, because you have to obey what he's saying, and there's quite a bit of obedience involved in that powerful verse of the Word of God. And you know what David Eales was talking about on Sunday. You know, I'm sure if you had an infirmity listening to that, what he was talking about, it should have disappeared off you right then and there, just with that the subject matter he was talking about there, because if let's say you had some ailment and you went into that study and then you started listening to it, it just might as well disappear from you, because there was a lot of good word in there for that, for deliverance and what God wants to do to us and do with us. Praise and glory to God, because there's a whole bunch of places, you know, that lately have been opening up to me in the Old Testament on just what God wants to do with his people in the future, so that we could be glorified before him. And a lot of it is that binding and loosing. And I think it's pretty neat the way it looks in the Church of Philadelphia, the way he gives you a key and an open door, and he tells you to see that no one takes your crown. And we always want to try and collate some of these verses together so it could be beneficial for us. That's all I'm trying to say, because it indeed, because of the power of the word, and the word and the spirit of God agrees, and his lifeblood also agrees with it. So yeah, we overcome by that life of Jesus that we have, and the spirit agrees with the blood, and also agrees with the water of the word. So, and there's power in all three. So we necessarily have to trust in the Lord to do this for us, and to be aware that, wait a minute, we have someone living inside of us, and we have to rest and trust in God that he's going to make this happen, because we're believers. And Luke 1:37 and many other places. Luke 1:37 is, how can you collate that verse with binding and loosing? So you can see why, with the question posed, that it would come off of a person and then you have to do it again for them. So some of us may even be struggling with some things like this. It might come off you and then come back, and then you're going, what just happened there? And then you gotta kind of tell this spirit to go to hell. I used to think that was a swear word until I started praying it, you know, like, get off, go, get out of here. I know who lives in me. And of course, God plays you like a chessboard, where he's going to do this on a gradual pace for us. I'm sure it's worked that way for a lot of people. At least I think that's the way it's working for me, that he's doing these things, but he's doing it within the realm of my ability for now. And he makes you grow that way, I think, anyway. You know, it's nobody here brought anyone to the Lord, and you didn't bring yourself to the Lord either. So it's all the Lord. You know, that's a good example, a good parallel. He had to loose you in your regeneration and in your birth, and he keeps doing it with everything else. And yes, he expects you to know your authority in it. And I'm speaking this knowing that I have failed lots of times too. And the Lord will help you, because he knows what he has to do in his repair. But that's why he constantly intercedes for us 24/7. And if you're going to, yes, we depend upon the fellowship, but eventually, you know, you might find yourself where there's nobody really there, and then you have to see the Lord in action. You know, there won't be time to phone someone, or and this is why he builds us up this way. And there have been times, you know, I'm sure with everyone, where it comes like really quick, and then other times it takes a while. So couldn't tell you why. Maybe there was a whole bunch of arms to bind or something, like whatever it is, or you know, that there were times there in the scriptures where it even says that but Satan withstood me, so it took a while for that prayer to get answered, even amongst the elite or the strong holy people of God in the Bible. So I like I say, for this I'd love for anyone to correct me on this, but that's how I think it happens anyway. I hope it works that way, because you know, I just want the words to come to me to save me too, because I have to depend on the Holy Spirit to give them to me at the time. So I just pray against any witchcraft that might come upon any people here. An item of rebellion, an item sometimes you might get a little bit wordy with people, and they want people to see what they're trying to teach you their way. For instance, they're invited to maybe teach a seminar on creation versus evolution. And the creationists will win the argument. But you see, the word has to be easily entreated. There might be a contrary spirit in there teaching some of these Christian people how to be very argumentative. And he might be arguing with someone who might be in a church somewhere. So it's not good when it's not easily entreated. He could be being baited for such an argumentative spirit that you might have to bind some of that from yourself also, because it gets to be almost sounding like judgment instead of salvation and deliverance and blessing. You know, we're not out here to judge, but to step into that Christ where we save, where we bless, where we deliver. You know, that's 3:17 of John there. And we don't have fellowship with or our communion with darkness, but with light. You know, just in those from 16 to 21 of chapter 3 of John, there's really good stuff in there, just for bringing salvation gospel, but there's also bringing forth fruits so that someone can change their mind. So that there are these different spirits that have to be bound off of different people. They may know something of salvation or be in one of the top three lands of the parable of the sower, but they have to make it to that fourth land. And They have to be all speaking the same, of the same mind and of the same spirit, and even writing the same thing. So there's a lot of items here that only the Lord can do, and it needs the discernment of people when you're talking to them. And I hope this brings some good questions about this. is binding so that it can actually help ourselves for our own vessels and for vessels who are brethren, vessels who need help themselves. So that's why I'm speaking so long. Anyway, praise and glory to God for that. Amen. Thank you, God.
Amen. Thank you, Andrew. Yep. It all starts with the mouth and the thoughts. Anyone else? On binding and loosing. Anybody got any questions about binding and loosing? Anybody got any more answers? Yeah, Joe.
Can I just add, what we're talking is, why can we bind and loose? I looked at the Luke 11 and 21. It says, when a strong man fights a devil, fully armed, God at his own court, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger Jesus came, when he shall come upon him and overcame him to take away from his whole armor wherein he trusted and divided his foes. That's why we can bind and loose, because it's been done on a cross. But through our actions, you can show what you believe in. If you're going to be under the curse, or you're going to be, because we're in the kingdom, you can be under the curse or under the blessings in the kingdom, walking in the kingdom. That's what I'm going to add. Thanks.
Amen. Joe, I'm understanding you better now. Lord's given me the ability to understand Afrikaner English.
I'm praying about that. Thanks.
No, really, I am. That's good. Thank you so much. All right, anyone else on binding and loosing? Speaking about languages, Joe, there was a guy, I can't remember his name, but he was from, over in the Middle East, not Middle East, Far East, somewhere over there. And he was a church planter. But before that, when he first came to Jesus, he couldn't read. His family was so poor, they couldn't send him to school. And so he never learned to read. And his daddy killed himself because of the chronic poverty that they were in, and he couldn't bring them out of it. So he just got depressed, killed himself. Anyway, that's kind of the life he lived. So when he came to Jesus, somebody gave him a Bible. Now, he couldn't read a word. He didn't know nothing. Couldn't read anything, but he opened it. And he asked the Lord, he saw something that looked interesting, because he didn't know what interesting was because he couldn't read. He pointed at it and he said, Lord, what does this mean? And the Lord would tell him. And then he'd go to the next one. He said, well, what is this? And the Lord would tell him. And within two months, he could read fluently the word of God. Not only that, he was called to Germany to preach over there. And I believe it's the same guy. It might be someone else. But anyway, this guy went to Germany, but just a couple of few little words of German. And he was supposed to speak at this conference. And he just assumed that they were going to have a translator there. Well, they just assumed that he spoke German and didn't have a translator. So he got up in front of all of these people. And he's not seeing anything that he could understand as German. But he had one verse that he knew in German. And the Lord brought it to his attention. He said, say that. And he said that in German. And from that, he preached the whole night in German, perfect German, where everybody in there was crying and they were falling out with Jesus, you know, and just, I'm telling you, having a great time. And he knew what he was talking about. And from that point on, he could speak German. He could read German, and he could even tell the different dialects of German. That's what God did for him. Now, if God can do that, he can do anything for us, can't he? We just have to get up there in front of a bunch of 1,000 people and say, okay, I can't talk. Remember what happened to David? Went over to somewhere in the, and probably in one of the, over around Russia, somewhere over in that area, and preached the word of God one night. Y'all remember the story? Now, he didn't understand a word he said, but he said everybody out there understood what he was doing. So they were just bawling and having just the Lord was just working on all of us. Now, when the Lord takes you to some place that you can't speak their language, guess what? You sit there with the Bible. Okay, Lord, it's up to you now. I can't do this, but I can with you. So here we go. And he'll just start you out. Off you'll go. Y'all believe that? God can do that? I believe he can do it too. And I'll tell you this. Remember the two little Chinese girls that went into that town? They asked the first one they saw. I said, what's the biggest problem in this town? We're talking about teenagers. Just came to Jesus. They said, well, we got this idiot, this crazy guy down here on the end of town that thinks he owns that part of the town. We have to go all the way outside of town and around this guy, or he'll come out there with a machete like a crazy banshee warrior and want to cut your head off. They said, okay, thank you. And they went on down there in their little Chinese way. Got down there, and they stepped across this man's imaginary line. And here he comes out. Boy, he's just a running like that. And I said, we bind you up in the name of Jesus. And while he was bound up, that's when he went in there and cast the demons out of him and brought him to Jesus. And he went around with them, and they brought the whole town to Jesus. That's binding and loosing. Just in a nutshell. Glory to God. Now, what about these people over in the, not the Far East, but the, what do you call that area? Indonesia, in that area, where they're going from island to island. They don't have a boat, don't have a car, don't have a bus, don't have anything but their legs. Now, Lord, here we are. What do you want us to do? Well, I've already told you what to do. You got to go over there and preach to those people on that island over there. Okay, we're going. Then they just bail off into that water. They get up to about their knees, baby. Then for long, they was walking up above the water, walking all the way over there. After they did it one time, that was it. Now they could walk anywhere they needed to. God can do anything. Yeah, Julie?
When we speak faith and we speak in agreement with the word, are we not binding the enemy?
Yep.
And when we speak contrary to the word, the promises, we speak out loud, are we not, that's when we would loose the enemy against us so they could administer.
Yeah.
So as long as we're speaking the good report, as long as we're speaking faith, we're binding the enemy, you know, calling things that are not as though they were, right? Isn't that what it is?
I mean, yep.
Yeah.
Calling things that are not as though they were.
That's just kind of how I, you know, it's the power of the tongue, but it starts up here with your thinking. And that's why we have to have that renewed mind of Christ. That's just what the Lord just keeps instilling in me, and you know, that's how we overcome, and that's how we win. And anyhow, it's just that's just what was coming to my mind, Michael, as you were saying all that. It's just, you know, you speak in agreement, and the Lord has been telling me, know your authority and know who you are in Christ, because that's Yeah, just powerful. Just everything David's been, you know, everything everyone's been speaking lately has just been all affirming, you know, our authority. So thank you, Lord.
Amen. Go ahead, Pat.
Yeah, that's, I agree with Julie that, the, Lord has had me, but when you came up with this, subject, I've been focusing on authority, the authority scriptures for the last, I don't know, month or two or whatever in, Romans 13. Which I'm not going to speak that much about, but the thing that I thought about tonight as we were talking about this was in Luke 10:19. He said, "Behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall in any wise hurt you." Nevertheless, this is the verse that I think is the important part of this section. He says, "Nevertheless, in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject to you." I mean, it is a fact that they are subject to us. They have to obey our word in Christ. And it's not a matter of will or obedience or whether they're going to do it or not. It's a matter of authority. And, but he said, "Rejoice not that they are subject to you, but rejoice that your name is written in heaven." In other words, it's not the fact that we have been given authority over the demonic realm. It's the fact that we have been placed in a different kingdom, in a different space, that they cannot penetrate, that they cannot overcome. And from that position in Christ, we rest in that authority or in that place that, that we can't be touched. And so our binding and loosing has to be, is based on that particular authority, like Julie said, and that when we're obviously resting in that authority and in that place of authority, in that separate kingdom, separated from the kingdom of darkness, then binding and loosing built upon that foundation is, I guess it can be done so more in faith or resting in faith in that place. But I think that, I'll just let it go with that. I think that our understanding and our grasp of that environment of an authority that the Lord has created for us to function in is not only a place where authority can be exercised, but it's also a place of protection because of the fact that it, in that place of submission, in authority, submission to the Lord in the structure or in the authority where he's placed you, is that secret place of the Most High. It's connected to that that concept, that principle of authority or whatever it is. I hate even bringing it up in a way, because authority always sounds so authoritarian and harsh and everything. But if we study the scripture, I was just looking at the differences in Jesus' life in reference to the messages that we've had for the last few weeks, but especially this one on Sunday, and the revealing of the man child and that whole process. And if you look at the Lord up until or prior to the time of his crucifixion, he functioned in the authority that he was given from the Father. But there were specific elements that it seemed like he brought about at the time they were needed. In other words, there was a time when he exercised his authority over the elements, and just like the example that Michael gave, and he walked across the water in the storms. And another time when he was in the boat and he woke up, they woke him up, and he rebuked the wind and the waves and they calmed and settled down. That was another time when he was exercising his authority over the authority structure, or that which he was under submission to. He was brought into the earth as a man and placed under the elements, under the authority structure of this world, I guess you might say. I'm thinking about the time when he recognized and acknowledged when Judas was going to betray him. He didn't rebel or reject or anything. He simply told Judas, because he knew that that was his purpose, told him to do quickly, go and quickly do what he had to do. When he stood before the Sanhedrin in the fake trial, he stood in the midst under submission to that authority, and he expressed that when the high priest finally came up and asked him bold-faced, "Don't beat around the bush, are you the Messiah? In the name of, I adjure you by the name of God," or whatever. Well, Jesus recognized that authority, and all the time up to that point, he was silent and didn't answer. But this time, when he was required to answer by the high priest, he recognized that authority and did answer it. And in his answer, he made the high priestship, or whatever you call it, the religious system of that day, guilty for the blood of Christ. But I guess the point that I was kind of trying to develop is that Jesus was under authority up until the time of the crucifixion. And on the cross, when he yielded up his spirit to God and gave himself up to God, and was buried, and when he was raised again, he was now free of those earthly authority structure, and he was able to come and go, disappear, appear. He was now functioning in a different way. And I think that the messages that we've been getting as of late is pointing to that example, at least in me, it's pointing into that example of the place that Jesus physically died, physically was raised again, and that there is a spiritual type for those of us to die to self and to be raised with that old man, that old nature, completely dead and raised in Christ as with the same freedom that Jesus received after his resurrection. And so I think it's in one sense, it's a type for us to participate with God through this process, to enter into that same experience. So anyway, I probably shouldn't have rattled on so long there, but I agree with the point of authority and how that fits into the picture. So I'll just shut up.
Oh, that's okay, Pat. You're good. Good. Thank you, Clark. Go ahead, Dirk.
I'm also thinking on the authority and where Jesus says, if we confess him before men, he will confess us before the Father. And it's interesting there in that verse in Matthew, before he says to Peter, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Before he says that to him, he first asks them, who does men say I am? And then who do they say he is? And where they confess, Peter confesses that he is the Christ, he is the Son of God. So that links with me with the, he confesses him, they saw him for who he is, and they, they knew him. And also with that, with who he is and who we are in him. And the verse that came to mind is that fits with the binding and the loosing is in John 20, where Jesus says there in 21, Jesus therefore said to them again, peace be unto you. As the Father has sent me, even so I send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, receive ye the Holy Spirit. Whosoever sins you forgive, they are forgiven unto them. And whosoever sins you retain, they are retained. And that also fits with in another part where he says, which is easier to say, to your sins are to stand up or walk, or your sins are forgiven. So that's also that authority that we have in him to bind and loose with ministering the gospel, the good news, I would say, and authority over any curse, authority over sickness. And when we pray, we can pray with that authority for healing and deliverance. So that verse just came to mind with that.
Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Dirk. Go ahead, Missy.
I was thinking about when Jesus was tempted by the devil. It was like he didn't like say, you know, I bind you, get out of here, whatever kind of thing. He only used the word of God to speak. And it wasn't necessarily like he was speaking directly to him. It was just that what he spoke was the word of God. It's like what the Lord's shown me is like when the enemy comes against you and is attacking you in whatever way it is, we don't always have to speak directly to him and say, I bind you or whatever. Just confess the word. I think, you know, I believe the Lord showed me that sometimes we pay too much attention directly to the enemy. You know, it's almost like we get in an argument with him. We like go back and forth. He does this and then we say this and then he does this and we, you know, and we bind him and we tell him to get up, you know, to go in the name of Jesus and blah, blah, blah. But I think, you know, the most effective lots of times is just, you know, you can speak to the enemy once and say, I bind you or whatever, or command healing or whatever, or I don't receive this pain, this spirit of pain must go or whatever. But just, okay, then after that, all you do is confess and praise the Lord. Confess God's word, because not only does it bind the enemy, it also encourages you, because you're confessing the word. You're building yourself up. You're building your faith up. You're putting your armor on, and the enemy can't penetrate God's word. And that's just some of my thoughts on that. And So, praising the Lord binds the enemy because he hates it. Praising and worshiping the Lord binds the enemy, you know, too. So, anyway, that's just some thoughts I had on it.
Yeah, using the word of God against the enemy is very effective, very effective. And I believe there's going to come a time where everybody that's still running after the Lord with all their heart is going to come into, like Missy was talking about, come into that divine health where you don't have to, the devil knows your authority. And when you come into the room, he said, we can't do that here. I already been trying him. You'll get a reputation in the spiritual realm, or they won't mess with it at some point in time. Yeah, thank you, Lord. And thank you, Father, for the anointing that is coming. But in the meantime, we thank you, Father, that the personal anointing that you've given us is already working. Praise God forevermore. Yeah, when we come to the place to where we trust God implicitly without doubt and unbelief trying to creep into you, and just know that God is behind you. He's not even behind you. He's in you. Lord of God, you are with God. God's in the temple here, right? If God's in the temple, then everything I need is right here. And that binding and loosing comes in handy. Before you walk into a room, if you've ever had trouble in a place, you can bind up the demons, go in there, and never have that problem. You walk in, they say, uh-oh, here comes Judy, or here comes Joe, or here comes whoever. We got to go, man. I ain't going to stay around and get whooped again. Because that's the reputation you'll have in the spiritual realm when the time comes. You'll have a good reputation in the devil's gun. Oh my goodness, here comes that crazy Michael Harris. My goodness, he'll have us whooped, bound up to a tree somewhere and have some angel whoop us. And that's the kind of reputation that God wants us to have in that spiritual realm. Yeah, Benjamin.
Another thing that I was just reminded of was the five carnal senses, that we need to conquer them. We need to conquer the five carnal senses using this binding and loosening. And that chapter in Joshua, where he had the five kings and he put them in the cave and he had a rock and obviously Jesus is the rock, and he covered them with a rock, and then he pulled them out of those caves And he told each of his lieutenants or whatever to put their feet on their throats. And that's kind of like, I guess you could say symbolism of, we're not going to even let him talk. We're not going to say, we're not going to let him say anything. And so we got to exercise our spiritual senses so that they're stronger than our carnal senses. So that whatever our carnal senses are saying that are contrary to God, it's like, oh, I've prayed for this, but it's not happening. Well, keep going on it by faith, because it, let every man, let God be true and every man a liar. I don't know where it says that, it says that somewhere, but we need to keep exercising our faith, kind of like you're exercising your muscles. If you stop exercising your muscles, they're obviously going to get weaker. And so, yeah, that's just something that just came to me right now. I remember listening about it somewhere.
Amen. I must say, Benjamin, you are coming along quite well and quick. Praise God.
Glory to God. Glory to God.
Glory to God.
That's all Him.
Thank you, Lord. Yeah, go ahead, Theo or Mom.
So, I think binding is pretty understandable, and we've done it in the past, and it has produced fruit. But what about loosening? What exactly are we loosening in this other side of it? Are we loosing the angels to go? But they're not bound. You know, is it our faith, our lack of faith, that is binding the angels up, that we have to loose them? Or, you know, it just doesn't make really sense. What are we loosing?
Okay. Let's ask the expert. Go ahead, Andrew. Go ahead, Andrew.
All glory to God. So I'll start that. And, you know, there was some people in prison in the book of Acts. You know, they had to be loosed out of their prison. So that's a loosening, you know, that people are trapped in things. You could be trapped in something and, you know, you need to be loosed from it. You know, they prayed for Peter for so long and he walked out. You know, he didn't even. Here's the thing. He didn't even know he was. He thought he was dreaming. So, you know, a dream was mentioned here about David Eales. I would think that you have to, you know, if you're going to dream about something and there's a bunch of people you don't even know, well, you know, how do you know you're not dreaming? So that, I'd just like to say that, you know, because, you know, some people say, I know you. And I'm not saying that happened with me, but you may have a dream where you're going to be actually going to be able to bring the gospel to people and show them stuff. It's good practice. God has to do it some way, you know, and he might actually do that with you. And how do you know if you're not doing something real or even going into someone else's dream? Because they won't recognize you if you don't recognize all these people in your dream. And what if you're given the ability to bring the gospel to people in that dream, wherever you are? So I'm just saying that, you know, that there is a loosening in the book of Acts. And there's items that, you know, you might need to be loosed from. You know, there Peter was... Got out of jail free card, you know, from God, you know, and he walked through how many guards there? I forget how many there are. Like they put two guards at every door on both sides, in and out. So there's four guards probably at some of these doorways. And he just went for his walk out. So, yeah, there's a loosing of the power of God. And a binding of the power of God. So, you know, you might very well say that the devil tried to put him in prison and he knew that he was going to be killed the next day, but God had other plans. And he loosed him from that place. And he was a son of God, this Peter guy. He had quite a bit of fruit. Look at what he did in the book of Acts at the beginning. So praise and glory to God for that. You know, a wonderful church father and servant of the Lord and glorifying the Son of God that he was. And he'll do this with children and whatever maturity you are at as a son of God. You know, he does it even with predestined people. They didn't reach their calling yet. You know, if there's four different lands in the parable of the sower in Matthew, there are lots of Christians that are in their predestined mode. They haven't been called yet. They haven't been justified. They haven't glorified God in any way. They're in this church mental ascent box, and they need to know that the word that they have gives them new life. So they need to be powerfully witnessed to by the God who's sovereign of everything anyway. He's sovereign over everything anyway, so might as well go along with him. Praise and glory to God.
Amen. Go ahead, Pat.
When Andrew was talking there, I thought of a classic example there in John 11:43. It says, when he thus spoke with a loud voice, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. And Jesus said unto them, loose him and let him go. So that was one example. But and that's obviously more on the physical and more on the thing that came to my mind is that, you know, the Lord has given us the Holy Spirit to guide us into all truth. And on the flip side of that coin, that guiding us into all truth is leading us out of the various aspects of deception that we have came with the Adam package, I guess. And just on the kind of the basic level of talking, you know, with people, a lot of times when you're talking with people, you'll start to recognize maybe the areas of deception that they're kind of resting in or talking about or whatever. And so I guess on the basic level there of being able to recognize what's happening there in the spirit, you're binding. Sometimes you're able to bind the deception while at the same time providing truth and loosing that person to consider the truth as opposed to the deception. And so there's at that very kind of that foundational level, there's a binding or a resisting or a stopping or a binding of that deception or that lie and loosing the truth on, you know, into the environment and allowing that, those two to, come in close contact with each other so that they can see the difference or whatever. So that's just kind of on that level. But I think obviously the more exciting part is when Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth, you know, that's the real fun. So anyway.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. Listen, it came forth. Go ahead, Andrew.
You know, if we could talk to Lazarus, maybe he was having the same dream Peter had, someone waking him up in the tomb there in the doorway. And he's coming out of there now. And what are they doing? Like, why am I dressed like this? And he gets unfolded and everything. And he finally realizes, hey, I just got up out of this prison. Someone woke me up from my sleep, just like he did with the little girl there. So praise and glory to God.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Yes, I'm ready.
Hi, everyone. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, thank you. I was just looking up some of the Bible verses. There's Matthew 18:20. I think someone already mentioned it. Truly, I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you lose on earth will be loosed in heaven. And some of that is the way I've understood it is to agree with the word of God. So if there's fear, and the Bible says, you know, the love of God casts out all fear, to lose the love of God, because then it casts out all fear. Like with Samson, when he asked for the Spirit of God, and it came upon him so strong that it loosed the bonds that he had been tied to. And then there's also Isaiah 58:6. Is not this the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burden, and to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke? And so I think in some ways, like, the Holy Spirit can reveal, you know, what that yoke might be. It could be unrepentance. And if you can lose the spirit of repentance, or like losing the spirits of God, you know, there's wisdom, there's discernment, there's, it's all agreeing with God, and it's losing what you came to be. If there's just losing life and life abundance because you're counteracting the lie, or you're counteracting the curse, or you're counteracting what the enemy is trying to bind you with. And so I bind death, I bind every ordinance of death in Jesus' name, and I lose life and life abundance because he came to bring life, and he is life. And so the way I understand to lose is how, because Christ lives in us, the Creator lives in us, the Everlasting Father lives in us, and when we speak, it's Christ that speaks, and because his word is true, and there's no doubt about what he says, it's life. And so when you lose that life with the word, and the word becomes flesh, then I hope I'm making sense. Then we're in agreement with the word, and we're a vessel that's being used to bring that word to life. So we can lose the gifts, we can lose the inheritance, we can lose the promises, we can lose the angels to work according to his will, you know, and it's still all for his glory because it's his power. But yeah.
Okay. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Yep, that's true. You can lose any of the good, you can lose the bad too. You can lose the bad, either one. By our mouth. Yes, Ozzy. Hey, bro.
Hey, man. Good to see everybody. Speaking of binding and loosing, I don't really have anything to add. I just want to give a little quick little testimony. I got home today from work, and this is, you know, talking about the faith of a child and you know, the binding and loosing, as it, you know, I don't think it really matters. You just faith, right? But here's what's so cool. I got home and, Isaiah, he's my youngest. He's six. He says, He said, Daddy, I want to tell you something. I said, yeah, what's up, man? And he goes, he said, well, my balloon popped today. It was a green balloon. I said, okay. And he goes, and I wanted another green balloon, but mama only had blue and another color. I don't remember. And he said, mama told me she didn't have green. And I was real upset. I got real sad. And he goes, so the first thing I knew to do was I went upstairs. And he said, and I commanded that demon of sadness to leave me in Jesus' name. Man, I was blown away when he said that. I said, man. I said, really, Isaiah? He goes, yeah. He goes, and I went back downstairs and talked to mom again, and there just happened to be a green balloon. And I said, my goodness. And I was kind of like, man, I feel the Holy Spirit just saying it. But I just, you know, it's like humbling just to hear him say it. It's like a reminder to me, you know, I don't know. There's just so many ways to learn. And sometimes kids are a great example to learn from. And when he just told me that, man, I was real impressed with what the Lord did with him. That's all.
That's awesome. That is so awesome. Thank you, Lord, for the parents that teach the right way. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for our children that are listening. Praise God. And I try to talk with my mouth full. Thank you, Jesus. Okay. Anyone else? Yeah. Okay, anyone else? So binding and loosing. Is everybody clear on what binding and loosing is? What you bind and what you loose? Yeah, me too. Thank you, Lord, that we do have these tools that you have given us. In the name of Jesus. Now, I want to get on a subject that we actually really need to talk about. Well, I'm not saying that we shouldn't talk about binding and loosing, but we should have. But here's the one that I really believe that we need to get clarification on. How do we discern teachers, preachers, prophets, evangelists, and all of that, good ones versus bad ones? How can you discern between the two? If one of them is sounding just like someone you know that's teaching the gospel from the Word of God, how can you know that someone you listen to on YouTube or wherever is the truth? What are the standards that we go by? Yeah, Phil.
I have one from personal experience, and I've noticed this many times, and it's finally sunk in. But if it tickles my intelligence and makes me excited about gaining additional information about something that I technically should already know, or if it's something that David already teaches, that's already a warning sign to me that this is outside of the realm of what I need. In a sense, like it shouldn't be tickling my carnal senses. It should be feeding my spiritual man, regardless of emotions and sensual experiences. And I think that one carries a lot of people away very quickly. And if I'm very impressed with the teaching, so to speak, that should also be a red flag.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. So how can I tell if John Q. Preacher out there, man, he's got a word that is just explosive. Well, how can I tell if he's telling the truth or not? Go ahead, Claire. And that's it. What Lana said is true, too. Don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to.
What I've experienced and what our household has experienced and what I know Rihanna has experienced is that you have to study the truth first. It has to be stored up in your hearts. Like, I probably could have been led away very easily if I allowed myself to listen to stuff in the first couple of years of walking with the Lord. I didn't know better, to be honest. Like, I didn't know there were things on YouTube. I don't even think I knew that. I probably knew there was YouTube, but I probably didn't want to click on it because I don't know why. I was too wrapped up in trying to get clean. So, like, spiritually clean, just to clarify. And now if I do listen to something or I come across something, the Holy Spirit has put his word in me that I can very quickly tell whether this is lining up with the word or not. But I'm not going to be arrogant and think that I can just click on anything, because the word says that if the days weren't shortened, even the elect would be drawn away. So I have to be really, really careful about what I listen to. And but only because I know a smattering of verses can I stand just maybe a little bit. And I'm hoping to get even more verses and chapters and books into my mind so that I will always be able to tell the counterfeit from the real thing.
Amen, Claire. That is exactly right. And go ahead, Andrew.
Well, one of the very easy ones is when they try to convince you you're a sinner.
Yeah.
And this is something that, they accuse everyone of being church hoppers. But it's them doing it because they're going to these very inexperienced Christians and saying, you're a sinner. You're a sinner. You're a sinner. Either you're a sinner or you're saved. You can't be both, you know. So you got to remind them of their baptism, you know, and they'll do this to get someone who's not watching and, you know, it's called a condemnation gospel, and we all know about that. So, don't forget, or next time you get baptized, you might have to drown. Praise and glory to God.
Amen. That's right. You may have to do that. May have to kill yourself. Go ahead, Missy.
There's been lots of times when I've listened to something from somebody and after I listen to it, either I pick up something that doesn't quite sound right or I decide to look and see who they are. And it's like... The Lord's just shown me some stuff here lately, you know. If there's somebody you think, you know, that looks like that may be good. Maybe the best thing to do is go search them out and see who they're affiliated with first. And if you find out, you know, they're affiliated with people, you know, that, you know, false revival, false prophetic or whatever, or, you know, just see what you can find out what they believe first, you know, or, you know, before you even bother listening to them. So, I mean, but the thing of it is that's like, you know, the thing with YouTube, if you see something on YouTube you think looks interesting, you know, I know my spontaneity, I just click on it, you know. Sometimes it doesn't take a very long listening to something like, eh. You know, but another thing the Lord's shown me too is that, Lord, you know, when Lana talked about tickling the senses and all, you know, somebody that puts on a show and is really, I guess the best way to say is just puts on a show and is very, dramatic or whatever, that kind of thing, that's a red flag. Be careful, because it's that's just a way of drawing you in, you know, and by your carnal senses and not by your spirit, you know, and you know, if you're discerning, that red flag will go up saying, eh, you know, not gonna go there, you know. But anyway, so that's just some of my thoughts.
That's a good idea. Go ahead, Ben.
At the beginning of my walk, I was going to this church, and I don't want to talk bad about it because they're really good people.
It's hard to hear you.
Can you hear me? Hello?
Can now.
Okay. I was going to a church, and they're one of those once saved, always saved. And in the beginning of my walk, that's what I believed. Once saved, always saved. And then they kept on talking about Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. And I'm like, yeah. And what? They never built on that. They were just like, Jesus is with you. He loves you. And he'll take care of you. It's like, okay, what do I do? In a sense, like, where do I go from here? It's like, I know I'm saved. What do I do with that? And my dad kept on, I was with my dad one day, and it was this, the topic was death to self. And I was like, well, what's that? What's that supposed to do with anything with Jesus? And I didn't know that it was, the depletion of myself for something for Christ. That was when I first started jogging into that. And then I started recognizing that it's no longer I that live, but Christ that lives within me. So a lot of these churches are like, Jesus loves me, 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 me. They're bringing themselves over the relationship. And they're just like, Jesus did it for me. But it, like, well, you could think of it that way in the beginning, but you kind of need to grow on that, that he did it, that God sent his son because he loved the world. And it's sort of just like, it's all about Christ, but they're kind of making it all about themselves, and they're comfortable with themselves. They're comfortable in their worldliness, and they're a worldly church. And it was just, it's sad that they're stuck in that worldliness, that they're okay with just like, oh, I'll have a little bit of sin. I'll just ask for some forgiveness, when that's not how it works. And you guys were talking a lot about death to self when I started with you guys. And that's how I know, like, at least you guys know what you're talking about. there was another local church that I was going to with my friend Jake. This was a scary thing for me, was that I was attending their church, and they almost convinced me that I was a sinner, even though I knew of my salvation. They almost did it, even though I knew the verses about it. So even if you do know it, they'll somehow convince you in a way. But then I talked about it with my dad. He's like, Ben, I already explained this to you like a million times. And, you know, it's just, and then I was just kind of like a lesson for me. It's just like, you really got to watch out where you go and what you're taking in. And a lot of these churches are just, they're worldly. The world is now in the church instead of coming out of the world. Like, we're supposed to be called out of this world, out of these nations, to a life of Christ, to be separate. But they're letting the world into the church, and it's really bad. I've only ever really noticed it until my dad really pointed it out to me. He said, Ben, I went through 5 different denominations. It's so bad. He just keeps on saying, it's so bad. And I don't want to talk bad about any denomination or any church, but they're just stuck in religion. That's it. That's, you can get your feet wet in religion, but you got to get out of that, because that's one thing Jesus really spoke against about was religion and hypocrisy.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Go ahead, Phil. Or Lana.
A couple of things from my experience. And like when you hear a speaker for the first time and he says, we're going to get in the word, you know, and then he just kind of walks to the pew where the Bible is, but he never opens it and he continues talking and talking and talking. And he never opens the word. That's very common too. Or they'll read one verse and then talk for an hour. That's an easy message, really. That's what I call it. And it's probably not one that's going to have a lot of correction in it for you. I mean, if you're not getting corrected, then you're probably listening to the wrong message. So when you do that, I noticed you flee from speakers that have correction. Like if you listen to David's teachings, he's reading the Bible more than like 3/4 of the time. And there's always correction. All the time. Line yourself up with the word. And your body gets used to the easy message, and correction is hard, right? It's burning the flesh. You gotta put yourself to death, as Ben was saying. So that's what I went through. And praise the Lord, my spirit now guides me, and I don't even want to listen to this person, and I never get the desire to even open them up. And that's, I really thank the Lord for that, because that's probably saved me a lot of spirit ache, I call it, from happening and being misled. So praise the Lord for David, for his correction message.
Yep. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, Isaac.
Oops, sorry, hit the wrong one. Yeah, I think they both nailed that. So going on into Matthew 24, because I was reading this one, I think it was in 2020, the Lord gave me a revelation about this, you know, because I've read it before and just never understood it. But it says here, for there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, so as to lead astray, if possible, even the elect. Behold, I have told you beforehand. If therefore they should say unto you, behold, he is in the wilderness, go not forth. Behold, he is in the inner chambers, believe it not. And I was thinking about that. And, you know, and I've wondered back in the past, well, how am I going to know? Oh, how am I going to know? And the Lord put it on me, because I'm in you, man. It's because it's Christ that liveth in you. If somebody has come to you and say, hey, the Christ is over here, come in this inner chamber, come in this wilderness, you'll see the Christ. Well, that's against 1 John 4:4, because that is spirit of the Antichrist. No, it's Christ that liveth in me, you know, the hope of glory. That's where he's at. You know what I mean? And so what I've kind of seen of, I used to be in like a big church. There's like 5,000 people on a Sunday. It's like a big TBN church. And there was a time I just didn't know. But, you know, I'm thankful for the journey. And, you know, if you read in, where's it at? Deuteronomy 13, it says, if there arise in the midst of thee a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, he give thee a sign or a wonder. And the sign or the wonder shall come to pass, wherefore he spake unto thee, saying, let us go after other gods. First of all, that's kind of wild if it comes to pass, right? But nonetheless, if we go after other gods, and I think what you'll find with a lot of these, like I was, in this deep church here, they'll preach a message. The word there for gods is Elohim. Now it's used that for God with a capital too, but here it's lowercase, but it's also used for like local magistrates. And in the church, there is certainly a hierarchy. And so they'll get you they'll want you to be the image of themselves. Right? Because just like Theo said, they will preach more about themselves than they will the word. Totally. And another thing too is, you know, like I said, that God's there is plural. And so in 1 John 4:4, beloved, believe not every spirit, but prove the spirits. That's also plural, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the spirit of God. Well, that's more singular there. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not Jesus is not of God. And the word there for confesseth, it also, my footnote says, every spirit that annulleth Jesus. Now think about that. Remember when the Pharisees were asking Jesus about divorcement, and he said, what God has brought together, what no man asunder. And when two are gummed together, they are one, right? That's annulling Christ in you. That's breaking up that marriage. And they will get between you and God. They will try to get between you and Jesus. And because going back to the hierarchy in the church and what I've seen, there are always going to be those. And I mean this not to cast blame, because I was once there, but they'll get you. To my point of hierarchy, there are some that are just more anointed, and you can never be as anointed as them. And usually it runs within the families or friends. You know, I hate to say there's nepotism in the church, but there's certainly nepotism. And you'll never be as anointed as them, because you can't. But what did Jesus say? Remember when in Luke 12:14, he said, and one of the multitudes said unto him, teacher, bid my brother divide the inheritance with me. But he said unto him, man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? And he said unto them, take heed and keep yourselves from all covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of things which he possesseth. Well, Jesus didn't make us a divider of the portion of Jesus in you. If you want 100-fold, believe for 100-fold, right? Because there's enough Jesus to go around, man. And think about it. If you look back in history, princes have killed brothers and sisters to gain the inheritance. But we're talking about Jesus, who wants to share the full inheritance, because there's no end of this inheritance of God. Now, isn't that amazing that he'd want to share, and he wants more, you know, brothers, and God wants more sons to share that, you know? That is truly amazing. And if that's not love, I don't know what is. But my point being is, you know, Jesus said it himself. He's not a judge or a divider among us. And there's 100-fold for all of us. But the church will hold you. They won't let you esteem to that, because that would be competition between them and you. And you can't have that. But anyways, let me just say this one thing. One time, I was listening. This is back in 2007, I think. I was, Todd Bentley. Is that his name? He is like, going around in the Kundalini, yoga, just imparting demons. And he was at the Florida, revival. Now, I didn't know. I just didn't know what I didn't know. And my roommate was like, man, Isaac, we need to go down there, man. They're raising people from the dead. They're doing this. People are getting healed, yada, yada, yada. And I was like, man, that's awesome. Let's go down there. And it's in Florida. Let's go. And, a friend of mine, my buddy Garrett, Crawford, I was telling somebody else this, and he happened to be with him. He said, Isaac, let me talk to you real fast. And I said, all right. So I put him on speakerphone for me and my other buddy. And he said, I really think you should maybe not go. But he was so gentle with it. He said, I think you should not go. And I was like, well, why would I not go? And he goes, well, I think you should maybe. And this is kind of what, you know, Theo and everybody else was saying, talk about the word, let the word prove it. He said, I think you should read the word. And if you're going to listen to him, see how much of the word he's talking about. But the thing was different as Garrett was. He was actually explaining the word and actually reading the word to me. Now, this fella, he had 12 steps for faith. 12 steps for faith. Man, I can't find that verse. I've been looking forever. Anyways, so And he, this Todd Bentley guy was preaching 12 steps to faith and people are writing it down, blah, blah, blah. And you can imagine how the doctrine becomes diluted through that. Well, this person's got 12, the next person's got 15. Well, this person's only got 3. But what's Jesus say? What did the word say? Anyways, so I didn't really believe Garrett and my buddy totally didn't. My buddy's like, he's a Pharisee. Like, okay. And so I said, well, let's, I'll talk to you later, man. Thanks for, you know, explaining that to me. And he got, before he got a phone, he said, Isaac, let's just do this. If you don't believe me, cause he already knew I didn't. He said, if you don't believe me or if you're not sure, then let's pray for a dream. And if the Lord give you a dream tonight, then you know. And if you don't, then go. I said, all right, we can do that. Well, I went to sleep that night and I woke up and I had a dream. I didn't really get dreams at this point. And it was this blue donkey. And I think that's symbolic and play on words, but I'll let you figure it out. And I don't mean it wrong in any type of way. It's just the dream that I had. And he was on this pedestal and he was preaching to the people. And his name was Todd Bentley, but he was preaching deception. I woke up. I said, oh my Lord. I said, I look at my roommate. I said, dude, you can't go, man. He's like, you've been deceived. I'm like, man, you can't go. I got a dream. I've never had this before. And then that's shortly thereafter, I got Sovereign God. And man, oh, it's just been amazing. And not to say that some messages do sound right. It's like, okay, that sounds okay. But I think Monroe said it pretty good in the chat. You know, just stay in your word. I don't think we need a whole bunch of teachers. Lord's placed us where we are. And, you know, it's just, the hidden manna that we get here. Oh, it's just so, it's so deep. You know, you talking about how they're talking about AI, you can imagine AI will come up with its own doctrine too, but how can AI ever get the hidden manna? That's a gift from God. Just can't happen. Not possible. Absolutely not possible. Cause that's given from God. Anyways, yeah, that's good. I mean, you could always find out what kind of hidden manna these false prophets have. You know what I mean? Anyways, that's all. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Isaac. Yeah, the question I would have, how many of you have run across anybody that has better teaching than David? And I'm not putting David on the pedestal because you all know that God gave him the word. And like Phil was talking about a while ago, his teachings are all scripture. It's just all scripture. Yeah, go ahead, Ben.
I forgot I had my hand up, but what I will say is that a lot of these churches out there, again, I don't want to talk bad about anybody, but they'll be like, okay, we're going to read Luke chapter 3 today. And they'll literally just read it. And then they'll speak a little bit on it. And it's just like, okay, that was about 40 minutes. And I didn't really learn anything because I already read Luke chapter 3. And so, and then next week he did Luke chapter 4. I was like, are you kidding me? And it got into my mind is that, and I remember David saying something like this. He said, a preacher should be trying to preach himself out of a job. A preacher should want you to get to a point where it's just like, oh, you've learned all this. Awesome. But again, that goes against to what some pastors want. They want you to keep coming back because if more people come, then they get more money and all that. So that's kind of contrary to how other preachers, that how preachers should be preaching. They should want you to learn to get, to actually learn and not just keep coming back to just go to church so that they can preach basically, a non spiritually filled sermon so that you can just keep coming back and be like, okay, I'm a Christian. And it's just, again, it's quite sad, but anyways, a preacher should be trying to teaching instead of just saying words, I guess.
Somebody said it earlier in the chat. Might have been Angelica that said that a lot of these preachers are motivational preachers, and that's true. That's the ones that get you fired up, you know, and all that stuff. But there's not a whole lot of word in it. I just want to get you encouraged. And encouragement is good as long as it follows the word of God. Go ahead, Joe.
What I learned very early on in my walk with UBM specific now with David, he said in the beginning, choose yourself one teacher. It doesn't have to be me. Choose yourself one teacher and follow him. Don't go like a ship on a sea, go from this one to this one. What I, after that, I learned from it. I make myself the list of, say, the first thing I have to do, take time to pray and meditate before I listen to a new teacher. Who recommends it? Could there be leaven in it? Why do you want to go outside of what you know? Leaven is the most important part. Just a little bit of leaven. It's still leaven. Doesn't matter how you sugarcoat leaven. That's still leaven. So it's pray about before you listen to anything new or go to anybody else. But the word. David used the word. That's it. Thank you.
Yeah. That's good advice. Go ahead, Pat.
I was thinking that. Yeah, true. Sometimes I have to kind of go back, like every, I'm sure probably everybody here came through that same system. I know David has kind of a, what that saying that, you know, to, that they're, the system is good for a specific purpose to kind of keep you corralled in an environment until you can start to eat enough of the word and you can start to see the things that are right and wrong and not aligning up with the word of God until the point where you're strong enough to walk and crawl over those bars yourself. And I know that when I was started out in the system, I think I had the advantage of getting saved before I went into the system. And so I had that particular sieve. You know, the Lord said that my sheep hear my voice, you know, and so if you're listening to his voice and sitting in the midst of that process, it's a little bit easier to you know, discern some of the things. But I know that, but there is a purpose for that. That holding tank is a holding tank for a reason. I know when I came out of the world, and I didn't have a concept one about what was submission to anything, anybody. I was my own authority. In my mind, and, you know, mostly and obviously in my mind. But that structure was what God used to show me the necessity of submission. And it was and of course it was submission to his word, because when I started kicking up being under the submission of a pastor or others,
you know, and I would kick up, and it would raise up that sense of rebellion and, you know, whatever within me. Then I had to become under submission to God's word and realize that was wrong. That stirring up within me was wrong. And it forced me to submit to God's word and stay within the confines of that structure until, shall we say, until it smoked out all the stuff within me that was hidden within me that I couldn't see. But that environment brought those things out within me. So I don't want to belabor that point, but God has that structure. And believe me, there's a structure of authority there. Usurped authority is still a structure of authority. And God wants us to learn submission. That's not doesn't necessarily equate to obedience, but it is submission. And there is that submission is absolutely essential in the process of smoking out that old man within us that hides within us and allows us to see it so that we can cooperate with the Holy Spirit and boot him out, neutralize him, etc. So not that I'm touting the system, but not to be, let's just say, not to become overly, I'm not going to say critical, but just overly focused on the negative of that system. Yes, there's definitely a limit there. There's definitely much missing and much deception within that whole structure. But realize that in one sense, that's where we all came through that process, and we came through for a reason that we might understand and realize that there are people within that structure that desire and God's placed in there want to know God and in a deeper way. So anyway, I just thought I'd toss that out.
Amen. Well, when we come into the kingdom, we go through the sandbox first, and then we come out of elementary school, go into those various stages that we do. We finally find the truth. Why would you want to leave? And I'm talking to myself, too. Yeah, if you got the meat, why do you want to go back to the mill? One way you can tell, folks, is who they associate with. Somebody brought that out a while ago. I think it's busy. Brought that out a while ago. If they've got associates that are friends of theirs, you can believe there's leaven in there somewhere. You just got to stay away from the leaven. And another way is most of them that I've run across, almost all of them, but there's one or two, don't believe in the sovereignty of God. You can almost bet that if they don't believe in the sovereignty of God, they've got some leaven in there. And there's a lot more other ways. Somebody brought up tithing a while ago. As much as I wanted it, we never asked for money. You know what I'm saying? And there's a reason for it, because the word of God said, freely you have received, freely give. And you know what? When you do that, you can look under your bed springs or your bed mattress and pull out $8,000 when you need it. I'm just saying. Or if you need $43 million, you can find it, because God's going to give it to you if you need it to do his work. It makes no difference. everything that we get from God is by the word of God and faith. And you get to faith by getting in the word of God, so you can't mix one without the other. It looks like we're about out of time. Anybody else got a prayer request before we get off the air? But if you'd wait just a few minutes to do that. Yeah, Fia.
Claire had a question in the chat. Can you tell if they believe in the sovereignty of God?
If they believe in the sovereignty of God, let me tell you one way is, that was right over. If they preach this, devil bad, God good. That gives you a real, key right there, because they think that God and the devil sitting up there butting heads all the time. Most of them believe that. Even some of the great faith teachers believe that. And, it's just not so. God got him on a leash. He's just like a dog on a leash. And he can only do what God allows him to do, or we allow him to do. That's another way. Yeah, who's behind everything? Jesus, God, God the Father. He's behind everything. Who made everything? Jesus. Yeah, there you go. That's a good one, Angelica. If they are patriotic, that's another good one. Political, any of those kind of things. That's all flesh. David, you know, David teaches the pure word of God. And why I or anyone else would want to go somewhere else is so you're just looking for something to make you feel better, I guess. I don't know. A good way to listen to David, I found out, is to get the book that he's going to, or whatever it is that if he's doing an update on Sundays or Wednesdays, get the paper that he preaches off of, or teaches off of, and go along with it with you. And you, if you keep up with it, you won't fall asleep. I'm just saying. I didn't say that, did I? Lord, we just praise you. We glorify you for our brother David. He is such an awesome guy, and we thank you for it, Father. Yeah, I could. It's right here at the end, Julie. I can get rid of that. All right, y'all be blessed. Yeah.